Hello, my name's Tom Boone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. This week, Joe's on vacation, so I'm going to try something a little bit different. I'm going to talk about Aerostan's relationship with Fly Aerostan, why the Comac C919 is good for Western Airlines, Russia's new maintenance solutions, and an update on Lufthansa's Airbus A380 return, of course. So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And as I said, I wanted to start by talking about Aerostan and its relationship with its low-cost subsidiary, Fly Aerostan. So Fly Aerostan was launched by Aerostan in 2018. It started flying in March 2019. And then, of course, you know, COVID-19 came around in the start of 2020, meaning that it didn't even get a full year under its belt before everything was thrown out of the pram and everything started being horrible for the airline. It was actually not until 2022, so about a year ago, it finished its first sort of full year with no interruption. So that was quite interesting. But the reason I wanted to talk about it a bit more today is because it's an airline, both of them, that I really love. And it turns out that there could be some changes in the coming up in the relationship between the two airlines. So what do I mean by that? Well, basically, there was a report in the local Kazakhstan media, Kazinform, last week, and that suggested that Fly Aerostan would become an entirely separate legal entity from Aerostan next year. The website referenced a speech from the Kazakh Vice Minister of Industry and Infrastructure, Almaz Yidrizov, and he basically said, you know, they make it into two completely different airlines. So I found out this and I thought, oh, I'm going to go and speak to Aerostan and see what they have to say. So a spokesperson to Aerostan confirmed to me that Aerostan confirms that the separation of the airline's LCC, Fly Aerostan, into a separate legal entity may be considered, but not before 2024. So what that sort of suggests is A, you know, they're not looking at it before next year, and B, you know, they confirm that they might consider it, but they're not confirming that they are considering it yet or that it will happen. But it's quite interesting just because of how the whole ownership structure of the two airlines works right now. So as things are right now, Aerostan is part of the Aerostan group, and that also includes Fly Aerostan underneath its bracket. So they do a lot of things together, you know, the secondhand A320s that are flown by Fly Aerostan came from Aerostan. Some of the staff, I think, transferred over. So right now it's really very, very much of a sort of single entity, but you know, if they did split it up, I don't know what the sort of reasoning for wanting to do that would be, but it would make a little more sense maybe for the airline, because they're operated as very different things right now. Because you know, when you look at Fly Aerostan, they only operate the Airbus A320 family. You know, they've got both the CEO and the Neo versions of the jet, and it took delivery of its first A320 Neo last year because I was lucky enough to be there in Toulouse for that. So they've now got four Neos and nine A320 CEOs. But then when you look at Aerostan's fleet, you know, it's much more varied. It's got the A320 family as well. You know, some of them went over to Fly Aerostan. But then you've also got the Boeing 767, the Embraer E190. You know, you go from the regional jet right up to the wide body. And it's the same when you look at the networks, the onboard products, all of this. So, you know, Fly Aerostan's flights, they're all fairly local, you know, nothing longer than you would expect with, say, Ryanair in Europe, maybe. And then you look over at Aerostan and its network expands as far as London, Frankfurt. And it's partly because of the cabin inside the aircraft. So Fly Aerostan's A320s, you know, if you go on them, you'll find a single class of seating throughout the entire jet. You know, it's a classic low-cost carrier. It really is. That's the whole point. It's the first Kazakh low-cost carrier. You know, meanwhile, you look at Aerostan's long-range A321s, and they've got a separate business class cabin with different seating. And they even have a throne seat up there, which I'm very keen to try out one day. So, but you know, it's quite interesting because right now they really are a combined success. So, since its inaugural year of 2019, Peter Foster, the CEO of the Air Astana Group, said that Fly Air Astana had grown by 366%. And he said it's got a great future as this region probably has the fastest growing low-cost air travel market in the world today. And together, the two airlines managed to create a record year for the Air Astana Group in 2022. They posted an after-tax profit of 78.6 million, and this was 115% higher than in 2021. And, you know, this is also against a backdrop of rising fuel costs and the Ukraine-Russia situation, which has meant that the carrier, you know, partly they are avoiding Russian airspace, so they have to route right the way around the bottom of Ukraine, which adds time and uses more fuel. But then the sort of flip side of that is that a lot of their destinations were also in Russia before all of this kicked off. So they've had to kind of rejig their whole business plan in a way to provide this capacity elsewhere. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about was Ryanair. Staying on the low-cost theme, lovely segue there. And that was because, you know, last week we talked about Ryanair returning to Ukraine, but something else that I chatted to Michael O'Leary about that I found really interesting was the launch of the Comac C919, because we already had a chat about this 3 years ago when I met him, and it was really fascinating. So I wanted to keep the conversation going. So because a lot has changed in 3 years. The C919 is now certified in China, and China Eastern has taken the first delivery. So while O'Leary previously suggested Ryanair would be interested in the aircraft, it seemed that plans were way off when we last spoke. So I asked for an update, and I didn't want to not talk about the C919 because it's really fascinating, and Ryanair does have an open MOU for it, I believe. So O'Leary told me, basically, that they, the Chinese, have been very slow with the Comac C919 program. He said there's no availability at the moment. The Chinese have mopped up the first couple of hundred orders anyway. Comac are not producing the aircraft in any significant quantities. But, you know, why is that good for Western carriers? Doesn't really seem to have anything to do with Western carriers on the face of it. But the answer lies in the Chinese orders, according to O'Leary, because he said, if they can take up a lot of the Chinese domestic orders, great. That will weaken the order books of both Airbus and Boeing, and that would be good for airlines in the West. We want to actively encourage and promote a third manufacturer in the world. It would be good for all airlines to have free manufacturers. But, you know, as I said, it's still probably quite a long way off until we will ever see a C919 coming outside of China. O'Leary acknowledged this. He said the Comac aircraft and availability is not going to be a factor, I think, until the second half of the 2030s. So it's not relevant to us at the moment. But of course, you know, as I said, the Ryanair isn't a stranger to the C919 because in Paris in 2011 at the air show, they signed this memorandum of understanding for a 200-seat variant of the C919. And 3 years ago, you know, O'Leary mentioned that they're still very committed to the program. It's just a case of wait and see because right now, Comac is really at the beginning. And, you know, if they can really take off with a product to compete with Airbus and Boeing, that would be great, I think. As in O'Leary's words, you know, breaking the duopoly would be wonderful because it was chatting with him as well that he suggested that, you know, this whole duopoly is really the whole idea behind the prices of that he has to pay for aircraft. And he finally accepted chatting to me that he is going to have to pay more for these Boeing 737 MAX 200s MAX 710s that he wants because, you know, there was an order going to be placed. It never got placed in the end, but they're in discussions again now because he told me that talks with Boeing broke down about 18 months ago over what we thought was egregious pricing by Boeing. We've now accepted that whatever new aircraft we want, we will have to pay a little more than the last order. The last order was priced during the MAX grounding, so we got an exceptional deal. And the other thing is, you know, like if you want to buy a Max or a 320 now, you've either got to go to a lesser and take a sort of a white body one, or take a white body if there is one from Airbus or Boeing, or the sort of more common choice is go to right back to the end of the queue. Because there's just huge demand for them. So, you know, the other option or benefit of COMAC really taking off is that it means there's perhaps slightly more products to inject into the market. So I mentioned Russia and Ukraine and that whole situation, and that kind of segues into my third story today, which is about Aeroflot and S7, because, you know, the whole issues in or the war in Ukraine has led to huge sanctions on Russia from across the board, and that's made it very difficult for airlines in Russia to keep their airplanes airworthy and flying. And there were two sort of interesting stories that related to this in Simple Flying in the past week. So the first one was to do with Aeroflot, and they flew an Airbus A330-300 to Tehran for maintenance. So that is going to be maintained by Mahan Air, which is Iran's largest private air, private carrier. So apparently, or not apparently, but the two countries reportedly signed an agreement in the summer of 2022. Iran agreed to supply Russian airlines with spare parts and provide maintenance service for Russian planes. Aeroflot's previous maintenance partners obviously are no longer serving the airline because they would be violating international sanctions if they did. So on April 5th, the A330 widebody flew to Tehran's Iman International Airport, where technical specialists of Mahan Air are going to reportedly service the aircraft. And what they're going to be doing is a landing gear replacement procedure that is scheduled operation performed every 10 years or 20,000 flight cycles on the A330. So the aircraft departed Moscow's Sheremetyevo International Airport on schedule at 9:25 in the evening on April 5th with the flight number SU-585, and it flew 3.5 hours over Baku and the Caspian Sea before landing in Iran at 01:25 the next morning. So according to the Russian state media outlet RBC, the choice of Iran as a maintenance location is because the country does not support anti-Russian sanctions and, to quote, is not afraid of secondary sanctions from the United States or the European Union. Iran has acquired extensive competence in repairing aircraft and their components over decades of economic blockade by the West. The risk, the other thing that was mentioned is that the risk of the aircraft's owners seizing the aircraft is minimal because, you know, if this plane landed in France, say, for maintenance at Airbus, the first thing that would happen, ignoring the whole sanctions question there, is that lessors would re-seize these aircraft because a lot of them, of the leased aircraft, are being kind of held against their will, the lessors' wills. But, you know, I think it's interesting, Iran as a place to for maintenance, because they have their own issues with sanctions as well from the US. There was, I think it was in 2019, Max ended up diverting to Shiraz in Iran from Norwegian Airlines, and it needed a new engine, and this created a whole headache of this aircraft getting grounded in Iran because it would violate sanctions to import this engine into Iran, but you couldn't fly the aircraft out of Iran without it. So they did eventually solve that in the end. But, you know, as I mentioned, it's the reason they're having to go to Iran is because their previous suppliers, say Lufthansa Technik, won't service them because of sanctions. And there was also an overhaul agreement, aircraft components agreement, that was signed with Hong Kong's HAECO in the summer of 2021, but this deal was also never implemented due to these sanctions. But, you know, that's not all. And there was another interesting twist to the whole Russian aircraft maintenance story, because the S7 group, who you're well known for the lime green S7 aircraft, they've acquired the Burdusk electromechanical plant, and you may be thinking, okay, this doesn't sound very aviation. Where is Tom going with this? Well, basically, this is going to allow the firm to produce, test, and certify aircraft parts as Russia's civil aviation industry keeps looking for solutions to bypass sanctions imposed by the West. It was the Russian news agency TASS that reported that the S7 Group acquired an 82.818% in the electromechanical plants. And this plant produces equipment and parts for aircraft, rockets, space systems. Commenting on it, the plant's general director, Vasily Yurchenko, said that the S7 Group is going to produce, test, and certify aircraft components at the plant. And he added, there are a number of companies in the S7 Group that have different competencies in repairing and maintaining the aircraft fleet. The BEMZ is needed so that the group can produce, test, and certify missing parts. It will be a modern, in-demand, high-tech production facility. In the nearest future, we're going to form an investment program that will start re-equipment of the enterprise. So this Bedersk electromechanical plant, it's a machine building company, and it's been operating since 1959. Russia's improvisation to maintain commercial planes in airworthy condition, though, has been causing some worry because, you know, typically, there's so much regulation from all across the board on all of this. And it was quite interesting because at the Airbus AGM or the sort of annual results presentation earlier this year, Guillaume Faury, who's the CEO of Airbus, touched on this. And he said, we start to hear about situations where they're missing parts or components or an inability to keep some of the planes in flight. But we're not speaking with the Russian airlines. We miss visibility. And yes, we are slightly concerned about the way the planes are operated, but we have no real means to act. And I think that's kind of the whole story about the whole Russian aviation industry right now, is that, you know, without being able to sort of see what's happening with these planes, and no one really kind of knows what's going on. But that kind of sums up that story. And just to sort of round up the podcast today, I wanted to please all regular listeners by giving a little update on Lufthansa's A380, because I tried so hard not to mention it last week, and then Joe mentioned both Lufthansa and the A380. So Lufthansa's first reactivated A380 is actually closer to returning to the skies now, because, you know, we're going to see them flying to Boston and New York City this summer. There's going to be three of them taken out storage and refreshed, let's say that. So Delta Alpha India Mike Kilo was the first to leave its storage for Frankfurt, and that was in December, and it's gone to Manila, had its major maintenance or its heavy maintenance, flown back to Frankfurt, had some more maintenance. But now the aircraft actually has left Frankfurt, and I missed that, so I'm quite sad about that one. I didn't know it was going to be going, but it left Frankfurt at 8:30 on Wednesday in the morning, and after departing Frankfurt, it flew for just over half an hour, but it didn't go straight to Munich. It actually went to Leipzig, where it circled for 2 hours before landing. It then touched down there at 11:12. And it remained on the ground for a bit over half an hour before taking off again at 11:49 for Munich International Airport. And that was a 42-minute flight, taking it to Lufthansa's secondary base, where it landed at 12:30. I imagine it probably went to Leipzig for some sort of pilot training, because we were told that there will be pilot training flights to these smaller German airports throughout the run-up to the reintroduction. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more A380 hops coming up, because the majority of the pilots who will be flying the A380s, and the crews, to be fair, haven't been on this aircraft for a long time since it went into storage. Delta Alpha India Mike is still in Manila undergoing heavy maintenance, and that's been there since March 7th, and Alpha India Mike Lima, which is believed to be the third aircraft returning, is still in desert storage in Tyrell. So once Mike comes back from Manila, then Mike Lima would probably go out in its place for the heavy maintenance before returning to service. One other interesting thing I noted, would you know, like Lufthansa now is going to be the only airline flying the A380 and the 747, because all of the other ones that had both have retired the 747. And, you know, Lufthansa is pretty much the only one seriously operating the 747 now anyway. What I found interesting, though, is that they've got some domestic 747 flights planned to Hamburg, and this is going to be on May 2nd, 4th, 11th, and 18th. And Lufthansa told our friends over at Aerotelegraph that this is also for pilot training. You know, it's, I guess, if you're going to have to fly it somewhere to train pilots, you know, make it a short flight rather than out to LA or somewhere. And if you're going to fly it somewhere, why not put paying passengers on it too? So that's kind of where we're at with that. And I think it'll be interesting. I think Lufthansa could well be the last, what I would say, one of the last major quad jet operators of the world, along with Emirates with the A380, because I feel they're not ready to say goodbye yet. I know it's going to come soon, but not quite yet. But, you know, I think that's about all we've got time for on today's podcast. And I hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, I welcome any feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com. But for more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating on your favorite podcast player. Thanks for listening.